We open our Bibles this morning in 1 John chapter 1, first epistle of John, the first chapter. Let's commence reading the scriptures, please, at the verse number 1. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word, and we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt just open up Thy Word to our hearts right now. Thank You for this book, and thank You, Lord, for the great eternal truths that are here, and how they ought to rejoice our hearts, and they do rejoice our hearts. And we thank Thee that we have a wonderful Savior. One is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Things and all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. So bless our meditation on Thy Word and make it sweet today. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we were looking at the verses, verse 6 and into verse 7. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And there we saw the profession, the person's individual profession. How that God reveals Himself to us as light, and that He wants us to come into fellowship with Him. However, if we profess that we have fellowship with Him, who is light and yet walk in darkness, the Bible says we lie and do not the truth. We notice that there was a lie of the lips, because it says if we say, that's the words of the lips, if we say that we are in fellowship with Him, or we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie. And so no matter what we say, that's the lie of the lips. We lie because we say that we have fellowship, and yet in reality, we're walking in darkness. Now, of course, He's the light, and in Him's no darkness at all. And so therefore, to say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness is a lie. And then there's the lie of the life. Because it says we lie and do not the truth. The truth acknowledged in the creed must be acknowledged or must be expressed in the conduct if we are to enjoy that sweet fellowship with Him. And so we came to the profession. We say. Now we come to the principle in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Here is the fellowship that has been talked about, not only spoken about on the lips, but lived out in the lives. Here is not only a profession, but a genuine, real possession, knowing and walking in the light of God and walking in fellowship with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. The one with the other. Here is a blessed experience, the personal experience of someone who is in fellowship with God, who enjoys the fellowship of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so we want to come here to this principle, walking in the light. We did sing this morning the words concerning walking. We were speaking and thinking about the walking of the child of God. Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly freedom ought to be the prayer of the hearts of every child of God. Oh, that I would walk closer to Him and have that sweet and close walk with God. But I want to speak this morning about that walk. And I want us to notice there are a number of things that the Word of God says to us concerning our walk with Him. And believe it or not, there are seven simple things that I want us to notice how that God's child ought to walk. And we'll come to the final one, walking in the light. First of all, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians and the chapter number 5. Fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And the verse number 1, it says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint." And so it says here, we are to be followers of God as dear children, walking in love. And that's the first thing I want us to notice. It says, "Be ye followers of God." Be is a word there in the original. Become. And the idea behind it there is commitment. It is devotion, is allegiance, is attachment. I sing the hymn, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." And friend, it's so easy to say that you pledge allegiance to the Lamb, but whenever it comes to the conduct to be somewhat different in the way that you live your life, you're to become followers of God. Now the word followers there is the word, believe it or not, imitators. Imitators. You know, just as a child imitates the parent. The usual word to describe disciples or followers would actually indicate pupil or student or scholar. But whenever Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus here, it is a completely different word. It's not the pupil, it's not the student, it's not the follower. It's the word imitator, mimic, actor. In other words, producing or reproducing identically. You know, sometimes a child will imitate their parents. The people tell me that whenever their children sometimes watch us on the video and when we're singing, the children will take the microphone and they'll imitate you. And they say they've got it nearly perfect. They just imitate you. Well, here we find the word here, "Be ye," or "become followers," "become imitators of God." Someone who will follow or reproduce the likeness of God identically. Oh, that we would be like Him today. Oh, that we would have that earnest desire that we would become, that we would be committed, that we would be so devoted, that we would be so allegiant to the Lord and so much attached to God, and allegiance to God and attached to Him, that we would be imitators of Him. It would be the real thing, of course. You see, God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we imitate and we follow Him, friend, we won't walk in darkness. We won't walk in darkness. And so it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Just as a child imitates the parent. Friends, so it says that we are to be followers of God. And being followers of God, notice what follows, and walk in love. You see, that's the most natural thing. The most natural thing for the child of God to do, if he is imitating God, is walking in love. Why? Because God is love. God is love. And if we are to be imitators of Him, then we are to walk in love. We're to walk with in love. There's a sympathy there. We should have a sympathetic heart. You know, sometimes God's children do not show the love of God and do not portray the love of God. Rather than having the sympathetic heart, they want to portray this hard heart, this macho heart. rather than the soft, sympathetic heart. Oh, that God would give us a heart that is broken, a heart that is in sympathy with the child of God, to weep with those that weep, and to rejoice with those that rejoice, in sympathy with others. Is that the walk that you have in your life, friend? Is that what you and I and our lives are noted for? We are walking in sympathy. We're walking, following, that we are imitating the Lord, that we have that sympathetic nature, but not only in sympathy, but notice it says, as Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Not only sympathy, but sacrifice. Sacrifice. We live in an awful age of meism. And God knows meism has crept, not only has it walked in the world, but has walked right into the church where people feel, you know, me, nobody will walk over me, or that's mine. Friend, the Word of God says that we're to walk in love. Christ loved us. He gave Himself for us. He was willing to sacrifice Himself. In other words, He put Himself in our place, in our stead, became our substitute. Sympathy, sacrifice, solace, helper. I spoke about Barnabas, or mentioned Barnabas this morning. He was the son of consolation. He was the one that helped. He was the one that had a ready hand always reaching out to comfort those that were in need, or to help those that were in need. We are to walk in love. And then go on down this chapter, chapter 5. Let's come to verse number 15. And this is what it says here. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That's the second thing. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We are to walk circumspectly. You see, first of all, we are to walk in love. That's in the church. That's among the people of God. And secondly, we are to walk circumspectly in the world, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And this is speaking about the believers walk day by day. And I believe it's our day-by-day walk that's crucial to the cause of Christ. In other words, we're to walk carefully. We're to walk carefully. The word there, circumspectly, means carefully or strictly. By looking around and watching every step. And that's what we are to do. We are to live our lives. You see, the Christian life is a walk. There is a path that we have got to trod day by day. And as we walk with God, we are to walk carefully. The word means accurately. It means exactly. We're to walk as wise, not unthinkingly, or not thoughtlessly, not carelessly, not uncaringly, not worldly-mindedly. We're to watch every step. Is that how we walk day by day, friend? Are we watching our step to make sure that our walk is a disciplined walk? That our walk is a controlled walk? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, turning the time given into things of value. It's absolutely amazing how many of God's people waste their lives, friend, on things that do not count at all. And they are so controlled about those things, but they're so careless about their walk with God. They miss the prayer meeting. It doesn't cost them a thought. They miss the Bible study. It doesn't cost them a thought. You see, other meetings, they'll not miss them. No, they'll make sure they're there. But does it really matter, God's house? When it comes to the Sabbath evening, does it really matter that they sit in the corner while God's people meet together? Does it really matter that they go and do visitations instead of coming to the house of God to worship? You see, friend, be honest. They're not walking circumspectly. Not walking circumspectly. And yet the Word of God says that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, turning the time that God has given you to the greatest value. Using the time that God has given you, friend. Because remember this, we'll spend eternity, or we'll be in eternity with God forever. And isn't it amazing that whilst God's child knows that he'll spend his time in God's presence forever, just an hour on a Sunday morning is enough to spend with God while he's here on earth. Is that the walk? You see the difference between the talk, friend, and the walk. And the Holy Ghost says, walk circumspectly, disciplined, controlled, exactly, accurately, carefully in this world. You see, the world's watching. Why would the child, why would the ungodly friend have an urgency to come to God's house in a gospel evening service when they see God's child doesn't care? Why would they? Now, let me tell you, they're reading your life, they're watching you. They're watching you. They watch where you are. What you find is more important than worshiping God, that you find that's more important being in the house of God. Listen, my friend, it's so easy to sing this psalm. I joined, went to the house of God, and now you lift up your voice and you let it ring around in the congregation whenever the worship song has been sung or the psalm of praise. I joined, went to the house of God. Go up, they said to me. Friend, it's a lie. If you really enjoyed going up to the house of God, then you would joyfully go up. You see? If we say and do not, we lie. And so we are to walk in love. Secondly, we are to walk circumspectly. And let's turn in our Bibles again. Let's come to number 3, because the Holy Ghost has something else to say. In Psalm 101, let's go to Psalm 101 now. In Psalm 101, it says, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely, in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And the first walk is walking in the church. And we're to walk in the church lovingly. And the second walk is walking in the world, and we're to walk circumspectly. The third walk here is walking in the house. And the Holy Ghost says that we're to walk wisely. The psalmist says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And you'll notice this is a psalm of David. And you know, if you go back to David's life, and you remember the early days of David's life, you remember whenever he returned, flushed with a victory from the overthrow of Goliath. And the women of Israel, they sang concerning David. And they rejoiced in the victory that David had enjoyed. And they rejoiced, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And because of jealousy that was in Saul's heart over David, it tells me in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 13, therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And then it says this concerning David, you see, David has been looked upon with jealousy. And it says here in verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself wisely in all things. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Here was the enemy. Not friend, the Philistine enemy, but here was the enemy within. Because Saul was of his own people. David and Saul were of different tribes and different families, but they indeed were of the same children of Israel. And we find that this jealousy that was amongst them was not between the Philistine and between the child of God and the children of Israel, but we find it was between Saul and David. And Saul tried to kill him. And Saul was jealous of David. He tried to destroy him. Tell me, how did David react? Did he go out and say, well, listen, I'll cut the head of Saul, or I'll kill him, or I'll destroy him too? No, friend. It says this, David behaved himself wisely. And friend, you wait on God. I say to you, you wait on God. There may be those that seek to hurt. There may be those that seek to destroy. But I tell you, you wait on God. You behave yourself carefully. You behave yourself wisely. Don't go with the flesh. That's the easy route. Don't go with the flesh. You let God vindicate. And it says, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself... You see, Saul would have delighted had he have lost control here. Then he would have some reason to have went in for the kill. But David didn't do that. When Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, Saul was afraid of him. And then go on down in the chapter, go to verse 30 of the same chapter, friend. And it says, then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set. God richly blessed him. That's the David that says in Psalm 101, listen, I will behave myself wisely. And on the throne, David resolves to behave himself on the throne wisely. Let me tell you this. Some of the greatest perils that are against the child of God, friend, are not in days of adversity. Some of the greatest perils that face the child of God are in the days of prosperity. Because that's where you feel that you are something. And God has to just bring you to size. And so David is acknowledging here the perils of advancement. They are often more subtle. They are often more seductive than the days of adversity. And David promises the Lord that he's not going to follow familiarity with holy things, but because they can breed presumption in his soul. But there's nothing he wants more than to know the Lord, the covenant-keeping God of Israel. And he says, "Oh, when wilt thou come unto me?" He wanted God to visit him. He wanted God to be with him more than anything else. Oh, that we desire to have the Lord's blessing more than anything else, friend, more than anything the world can ever offer or anything the world can ever give. But you know, we are richly blessed because we have the Lord permanently by His Holy Spirit in our hearts. And He says, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." But this is what He said. "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." Oh God. Oh God, help me to walk at home. You know, sometimes that's the hardest place to walk, isn't it? To walk in the home, in the house, wisely. That doesn't mean as a parent, friend, you're to let your children do whatever they like. But you do need wisdom. God, give me wisdom to rule the home. Let me tell you, Father, Mother, you're answerable to God for how you bring up your children. It says, "Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old he shall not depart from it." It doesn't mean they never depart from it, but friend, listen. You're to train them up. You're answerable to God for that. They may go wrong and break your heart. But as long as you know before God, friend, that you directed your family wisely, that you ruled your home wisely, that you behaved yourself wisely, that the example you set before your children was a wise example, then I believe that that covenant-keeping God will honor His word. When he's old, he shall not depart from it. And David said, "God, please help me to walk wisely." Walk wisely. And then turn to Galatians chapter 5 quickly. Galatians chapter 5. And in the 5th chapter of Galatians, if you go quickly to verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. "And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Verse 25. If we walk in the Spirit, or if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, what the Word of God is saying here is this, in verse 16, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." In other words, there's victory in walking in the Spirit. There's victory over sin, and there's victory over the flesh. We must confess, there's not one of us has power of ourselves to control the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, and the pride of life. And there's a battle which goes on. There is a fight in the believer's life. There is a fight for dominance. There's a struggle that goes on. A fight for control. And the flesh stands contrary to the Spirit. It says here in that verse 16, "Walk in the flesh and or in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts." The lust of the flesh. The lust means a yearning passion for. The pulling. The desires, the cravings, the grabbing of the flesh. Let's be quite honest, the flesh is hard to control. Flesh is very hard to control. And the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And the flesh wants to do what it likes. The flesh wants to be the dominant and predominant figure. Paul acknowledges this in his own life. In Romans chapter 7, he says, "What then? Verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey?" Verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye become or you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And so there's a battle going on. There's a struggle that's going on. But thank God the Bible tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit. Spirit controlled. Spirit controlled. Is the Holy Spirit in control of your body today? Are you walking in the Spirit? In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 in verse 9 it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's go back. Actually, I read chapter 6, it's chapter 7. Let's go back to it just for a moment. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. See the battle? See the struggle? If then I do that which I would not and consent unto the law, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Friend, is that your experience day by day? Be honest. Is there that struggle going on? Is there that battle going on? There is in reality. Chapter 8, verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Living in the Spirit. Living Spirit-filled lives. Walking in the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. Empty that thou shouldst fill me. Oh, that God would empty me of self. Empty me of the flesh. And that day by day I might know the infilling and anointing and the blessed power of the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit. Let me just give you these last. Colossians 2, verse 6. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, as ye has therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk submissively. Walk in him. Are you submitted to the Lord this morning? Are you walking in submission, rooted, built up in him? Rooted? The trees rooted deep. Thank God when the tree has got the roots right down in the ground, even though the wind blows, it withstands the storm. Doesn't it? Why? Because the roots are deep. Rooted in him. And the storms come and the winds blow upon us, but praise God, we're able to stand the winds and the storm. Why? Because we're rooted in him. And then it says, built up in him. In other words, on Christ the solid rock. Not built on the sand, but thank God, built upon the rock, a solid foundation, the sure foundation, constructed on Christ. And then it says, established in the faith, firm, stable, holding fast letting that go in the faith. That's walking in Him. Two more, I'll just leave them with you. 2 John. In 2 John, in verse number 4, you can study these in your own time, friend. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that know in the truth. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth. Walking in truth. My, what a dynamic testimony. It says to the elect lady and her children. Some believe that this is the church spoken about. Others believe that John met a lady and she had a family. And this lady who was elect, saved by the grace of God, her children. But he talks about them walking in the truth. What a blessing. I rejoice greatly. It is a blessing to see the family walking in the truth of God. Mums and dads that are saved this morning, will you pray for your children? How great are the challenges that your children are facing? The devil's after them. The devil will be out to destroy them. Their adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Pray for them that God will keep them safe. But if they're saved, that God will keep them strong. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. And the last one is 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have the fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Fellowship with him. Why? Because we're walking in the light. Walking in the light of his word. Walking according to his will. Walking in fellowship with him. It's not enough for the Lord Jesus to come and reveal God to man. Man's sinful. We've broken God's law. We're guilty of offending God. We cannot erase the sins of the past, friend. Would God we could. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth. And the word there is keeps on cleansing from all sin. A present power. The blood keeps on cleansing all day long, every day. A purifying power cleanseth from all sin. A prevailing power. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, brother and sister, in God's name I say to you today, claim the blood. Claim the covering of the blood of the Savior. When I see the blood, I will stand guard over thee. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the precious blood of Thy Son. And I pray that even this morning that those that are in this gathering that are not saved, their sin stands against them. Oh God, their sins one day will stand against them and cry out for judgment at thy throne. Give the sinner grace to call. Help him to call this morning. Lord, save me from sin. Cleanse me and make me clean. Oh, that they might rest upon that finished work of thy cross. But oh, I pray this morning for those who profess thy name, help us, our God, to walk according to thy word. Help us to walk wisely in the church. Help us to walk wisely in the world. Help us to walk wisely in the home. Help us to love Christ before others, that our lives will glorify our Father which is in heaven. Help us to walk in truth. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to walk in the light. Help us to walk circumspectly. Help us to walk lovingly. For Jesus' sake.